everybody, and welcome to Resettled, A Human Journey, ECDC ACC's premier podcast. Thank you for joining us for our very first episode. My name is Yariana Rodriguez. I am the Resource Development Manager at the African Community Center.
And my name is Nezia Munezero-Kugayo, the Public and Community Relations Officer at the Ethiopian Community Development Council.
Now, this podcast will cover topics ranging from the resettlement process to mental health. But for our first episode, we have invited Dr. Sehaya Tefera, ECDC's president and CEO, Dr. T, as he is commonly known by the ECDC family, will talk to us about the history and vision of this organization. Sarah Sulo, the managing director for ACCDC, also joined us today to discuss the work of ACC in the DC metropolitan area.
Dr. T and Sarah, thank you for being part of our first episode. Let's jump right in with some background information on ECDC and ACC. Dr. T, could you briefly introduce yourself and tell us how ECDC came to be? How has the mission changed over the years, if at all?
Thank you. My name is Sehaya Tefera, President and CEO of ECDC. ECDC was formally established in 1983. However, prior to the establishment of ECDC, I have been involved in other organizations as volunteer and so on. As you may know, there was a change of government in Ethiopia in the late 70s. As a result of that, many Ethiopians were fleeing from their homeland to neighboring countries like Sudan, Somalia, Kenya, Djibouti, and so on. Then, as a result of the 1980 Refugee Act, many Ethiopians were also admitted and became beneficiaries of the Refugee Act. When they came to the United States, there was no established community to welcome and receive them. And we saw a number of problems related to adjustment. So we came together to establish ECDC as a non-profit community-based organization to welcome the new arriving Ethiopian refugees in the Washington, D.C. area. But later on, you know, we found ourselves in providing services not only to Ethiopians, but also to other refugees, including at the time Vietnamese, Cambodians, Afghans. So even though the mission of ECDC initially was to work with Ethiopians, but because of circumstance and the location where we find ourselves, the Washington metropolitan area, we open our doors to be more inclusive. So in that sense, we broaden our focus and our services to be a more multicultural, inclusive organization. Since, you know, resettlement happens in communities at a local level, we thought of expanding our services nationally, and we began, you know, to collaborate, partner with other local-based community organizations around the country. Maybe I'll come to that later on.
Okay, so the next question is for Sarah. Sarah, can you tell us what is ACC and what led you here to either work for this organization or work in resettlement?
Hi, my name is Sarah. I'm the managing director of the African Community Center here in Washington. ACC is a branch office of ECDC, so we technically are the office that does the groundwork. We're the one receiving the refugees and providing services, and we can come back later on and I'll give more detail on exactly of what we do. What drove me to ECDC is actually when I graduated from graduate school, I started interning at ACC Denver in Denver, Colorado. And that was my first encounter with the work of resettlement. I just loved it. And ever since I started working as a case manager, from a case manager as an employment specialist, as a program manager, as a program coordinator. And then when the opportunity opened here to become a program officer at the national level with the ethnic program, I came here about in 2012. And at that time, the ACC was going through a lot of changes and the opportunity opened up for me to manage it. And I wanted to get it to where it is today. And it's been now almost 10 years, a long journey.
You are both very passionate about supporting newcomers because of your own personal experiences. What have you found to be really important skills to acquire in order to achieve self-sufficiency? That is what we work towards that is the goal for all the clients that are served here at ACC and other resettlement agencies. What skills do you think are important for them to acquire?
So self-sufficiency, I think, is the resilience that will have to come. So the resilience that most refugees come with in sustaining many, many years since refugee comes in any many areas. So when they come here, is also the same resilience continues. So the acceptance of knowing, the first thing that they will know and understand is they finally have found a place that they can call home. At least that's the given. There's no need for fear for being evicted or sent out of this country, so they can actually have a place where they can call home. But I mean, we have seen people with no education or no work background who have easily integrated within the community and have done well for them and their family. Others who have come here who've been highly educated with a lot of work experience who have struggled more. I think it's patience. You have to have patience. You have to have the will. And you also need to understand this is a journey. The Chinese said, like, you know, a journey of 1,000 steps start with one step. So you have to take it step by step. The people who do have that clear understanding, I think, do well.
So I can actually concur with what Sarah was saying. I started also as an intern here at ACC, and it does take a lot of patience to do what we do, to work with the clients, the population that we work with. And I think at the end of the day, there's no regret about what we're doing. We're very passionate, and everybody who's working in this office is very passionate about resettlement and refugees. So the next question is for Dr. T. So ECDC is a national agency with a large network of community-based organizations working diligently to improve lives. Tell me, what advice would you give to those looking to welcome refugees and other newcomers in their neighborhoods?
They have to understand, you know, the refugees that come here are people who have had lots of experience, by and large. They are professionals. And they would be good members of their local communities. I know sometimes the environment becomes suspicious of refugees and newcomers, but people don't have to have any fear of refugees. They are willing to be productive members of their community. They work, they pay taxes, they raise children. And we have to look at it as these are people that are enriching our respective communities. So for that reason, I think people should welcome every newcomer and make them feel, you know, that they are part of the community.
As we have seen lately, running a resettlement agency is not easy work, especially because the work itself is affected by outside happenings and influences that we cannot control. We know that political changes affect resettlement, and sometimes not in very good ways. How has ECDC been able to remain successful over the years? What makes it different?
Well, you know, we are a grassroots organization. Our roots are in the communities. ECDC basically works, you know, with local community-based organizations. And our message to our respective community organizations is that you have to integrate into the local communities. You have to strive to be members of your local communities. You have to involve yourself socially, educationally, and what have you, to create a good relationship with their local host communities. If you do that, then it will be not only beneficial to you as newcomers, but also to the host community. So I think that's basically the message we give, and by and large it has worked so far.
And I think following up with that on the local level, I don't know if Sarah wants to add anything on what makes our program successful.
As Dr. T said, is the connections that we continue to have with the community at large. In addition to us continuing to do an advocacy of knowing what the program means, it's also the help that we get from churches and mosque and synagogue, but the regular population that continues to help us. So having that close connection with the community is a key, because as you said, we have no control about the political climate or who will be elected at the White House. What we can control is our messaging and the community that we lived in. Continuing to have that great connection with the community, I think that makes us successful, and that's how we sustain throughout the years.
Thank you, Sarah. And I just want to add another thing that really makes us successful, at least on the local level, is the fact that we are supported by a number of volunteers and interns who come here and not only help our case managers doing direct services, but also help our staff doing events and anything else that we need for our organization. So that's a really key and important part of what we do here.
From the national level, I can concur that applies to our network as well. If you look at the number of volunteers each of our affiliate organizations have, you can see that the biggest part of the work that we do is done by people who are willing, able to give their time. And in many cases, their own materials to keep the families moving along the integration journey. And either of you can answer this question, but would you talk about the community within our organization? How is it like? We call this the ECDC family, as Yariana did at the beginning, but can you talk a little bit about why we do that and how that has helped the organization be what it is?
It's a family environment, as we actually, in Denver, Colorado, we didn't even call client. We used to call them community members. Even from the very beginning, it's just that feeling that you want to tell people that in some sort, even though we're the one who provide the services, it's the privilege that we get to be into that place to providing that service, so that you are an extended family. Yeah, so I think it starts with the clients that we serve. It starts with the people that you work with. In addition, I think it's very common at ECDC for people to actually take the time to not just say, hey, how are you? How's your children doing? How's your husband doing? How's the family doing? It's also the fact that as a community, we tend to celebrate big events. That's a big part of who we are. It's recognizing the heritage and the culture and the religion of each and every one of us. This is a very, very diverse organization with a multi-ethnic, multilingual, multi-religious organization. So in order for us to recognize all of this, you have to have that community feel. It's just an extended family feel that we have. So I think we were able to take this and also pass it on to the community that work with us, whether they are churches or synagogue or a mosque or any of the community at large, that understanding this, you are part of this family. Whether you volunteer with us, you do an in-kind donation, you work with us, you are a service beneficiary, it's all part of one big family.
I agree with Sarah. This is really a reflection of the community that we serve. We are a diverse community, both in terms of gender, in terms of languages, religion, and what have you. Actually, our diversity is our strength, and we serve as a model to our local communities. For those who fear diversity brings negative impact, I think we are a testimonial where, you know, we as a community coming from diverse backgrounds are working together in harmony. And that is what ECDC is and what makes it unique.
Just with that in mind, I'd like to add that, as Sarah mentioned, ACC does have other offices in Las Vegas, Denver, and Yariana mentioned here in Arlington and also Silver Spring. But even as a large national organization, there is that sense of community that we do work to incorporate in everything that we do in our daily jobs.
I can concur with that. So I got a fun question for both of you. What is the best part of your job?
It's a lot. The fact that I get to work in this multi-ethnic, multilingual, multi-religious environment, where else in a workplace will you be, exposed to people coming, with the Chint and the Rohingyas? We're not even talking about countrywide. I'm talking about ethnicity, small ethnic groups that people maybe heard about through National Geographic, etc. And we actually have that privilege to actually work with those people, understand their culture, be able to provide services. And it sometimes seriously blow me away, because those are the things that I used to hear in history books, etc. And I have that privilege to actually work with those people, meet with them, you know, share their culture and diversity. I think by far, to me, is by far the most exciting part of the work. And I've done it for 10 years now. In addition to many other things that this work comes, the flexibility that goes with the work, and also how much this work can expose a person in so many diverse ways, whether it is advocacy, knowing about advocacy work, HR work, government work, nonprofit, the private sector. If you're open to it, I guess this organization gives you the chance to explore many aspects of what a nonprofit is.
As you know, resettlement is about saving lives. You know, when you have a refugee that has been in a refugee camp for many, many years, and they get the chance to come here and be resettled, you are actually saving their life and their family's life. And once they come here as newcomers, they face many challenges. But overcoming those challenges, and when I see them becoming, you know, productive members of their local communities, that makes me happy. I see, you know, my job is really about making changes as an agent of change, both for those who come here and change their lives into a better one, and working with others to create the opportunity for people to be resettled here. That is the best part of my work, even though it is becoming challenging nowadays.
Goes straight into our next question. It's a good time to bring it up. What are some of the most challenging parts of your job?
Sarah, why don't you start?
Controlling the environment, as you said, we are quite the work independence of the political environment that one, we're exposed to. I think that's the biggest challenge that we may have. But it's also what makes this work more interesting. You know, it's just how... You know, as Dr. C has said, I mean, we've been here for almost 35 now, for 36, going to 36 years. I mean, we have had our up and down, but it's accepting the fact that things will change, but it's being ready for the change. So when we often hire people in this environment, we tell people, how quickly can you adapt in a changing environment? And we mean this when we say in a changing environment can be... It could be the political environment. It could also be the population that you serve. You know, we could be working with one group of population, you know, in one quarter, and then in the next quarter, the things may change. And it's not just at the federal level. It could all just be at the state level. It could be at the county level. It could just be at the community level. So have to be able to adapt and adapt very, very quickly. And always keep being hopeful and always being able to think outside of the box and think quickly. I think that's the best. It's challenging, but it's also what will help you survive.
There are so many challenges because of the environment we find ourselves nowadays. When I see the number of refugees that are admitted every year is diminishing from year to year. What it means is there are so many people outside the country that have been waiting for years to be resettled in the United States, whose dreams are going to be not realized. We have also families here that have been waiting for years to be reunited with their loved ones overseas, and it seems it's not going to happen soon. That worries me a lot. As I said earlier, refugee resettlement is about saving lives. If we don't increase the number of people who have opportunities to be reunited with their families here, it means we are not going to be saving their lives. And my hope is that the United States would go back to its roots of being a country of opportunities, and also a country that has always put saving human lives, human dignity above everything. So that is My challenge is how do we convey that message and create more friends. The refugee resettlement should not be a partisan issue. Mm-hmm. It's not a Republican, it's not a Democrat. It is a human rights issue. It is about humanity. It is about caring one another. And a big challenge for us to convey that message and to bring, you know, more friends of refugees.
Thank you for that, Dr. T. That was actually very beautiful. So this next question is for you as well. What do you believe are the key requirements to become a leader of such an impactful organization, whether it's education, experience, having a lot of patience? What do you believe makes a successful president or director?
I think you have to believe in what you are doing. You have to believe in yourself, in the mission of the organization. For the outside world, being a leader of an organization may seem, you know, there are benefits, salary, money, and so on. But for those of us who have really committed our lives, it's not about the money, it's not about the glory, it is really about the commitment. So in order for anybody to come and lead such an organization, they have to have the commitment. The commitment has to be really 100%. No matter, you know, whether there are funds or not, you have to decide for yourself that no matter what, I am going to be around in order to serve people and fulfill the mission of the organization. It's like a missionary work.
Thank you. That's really relatable because I recently spoke to a director at my son's school and I asked her what I can do for them because it's a really good Montessori program and you can tell the teachers are doing a lot for the students and even at home we can see the impact they are making. So I asked her, you know, what can we do? And she said, oh, we don't have money, so we can't pay you. And I said, I've never taken a job for payment. I've done a lot of jobs, but it's always been because I want to make an impact in somebody's lives. Resettlement is a really good place to do that because, as Dr. T said, we are saving lives. And many of us at ECDC can relate to the journey that our clients are taking to get here. So it can get very personal and very challenging at the same time because we know what the work is. We know what we're doing is not for a certain political party or for a certain financial benefit, but it's for the people. So if we have clients or other community members who are getting into doing resettlement work despite all the challenges, in a few words, what advice would you give to someone who's just starting out, besides if somebody who's already committed to doing the work, but what can you tell them to be able to continue despite the challenges?
So I was saying one more thing I'll add is discipline, you know. Passions and commitment is all needed, but then comes the discipline of doing the work and being disciplined in managing, whether it's, you know, managing your grant, managing the staff, managing how you provide services. When you add passion and commitment to discipline, I think that's the magic word together.
That was all the questions we had for you today. Thank you both for taking the time to join us for our very first episode. We learned today that ECDC actually used to have a radio show. So we are glad to bring back something that, while not the same as what previously was hosted, will play a similar role in the community to get the message of ECDC out and to talk about refugee resettlement with people who experience it, whether they are refugees or people who work with refugees, so that we can, as Dr. T said, make more friends for the program. Thank you both for joining us for our first episode. Before we leave, I have just a few announcements. We currently have a writing contest happening. It is called the ECDC ACCDC Writing Contest. You can find information about it on social media and on our website. And the entry is open to all. You can write a poem or a short story of 500 words or less. regarding refugee resettlement. To submit your story, please include your name, preferred email, phone number, and a brief introduction, whether you are a volunteer, staff member, or community member. And we ask that you also include your photo when you submit the entry to Yariana Rodriguez. Her email is yrodriguez@ecdcus.org. And remember to write ECDC ACC Writing Contest in your subject line. We will announce our winner on November 18th, 2019. In addition to that, we are currently planning our 7th annual Thanksgiving event. This event aims to bring our clients together with the community members who have welcomed them. Volunteers play a big role, our neighbors as well. It's an event that brings different kinds of foods and different kinds of music and community members together to learn about each other and to appreciate each other. This event will take place on Sunday, November 24th from 4 to 8. This is a potluck event, so if you have an exciting dish you would like to share, you can plan to do so. And I will now ask you to follow us on social media. We have accounts for both ECDC and ACC on Facebook. You can find ECDC by searching Ethiopian Community Development Council on Facebook or by going to facebook.com/ecdcus.org. You can find us on Twitter by going to our handle, ecdcus. Yariana will add information for ACC's social media accounts so that you can follow ACC as well.
Right, so for ACCDC, our social media accounts on Instagram are ECDC ACCDC Metro. Altogether, for Facebook, you can find us as the African Community Center of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. So once again, thank you all for joining us.